death from the heights. I will bring a sacrifice. With these hands lifted high, hear my soul, hear my cry. I will bring the sacrifice.
Children are going to go down after the first song. They're preparing for a Christmas program for us. So Stephanie is in the back to receive the children, and they're going to be going down and singing songs and practicing a play. So Praise the Lord. That way, guys. Looks like they're making their way. So lay me down. It's not our life. It's His. But we have to lay it down. That's the tricky part, isn't it? It's giving up. We heard about that last week. Giving up what we want to hold on to. And I just want to encourage you today to, even during this worship time, lay down anything that's been holding you back. Lay down any obstacles, any barriers. Lay down any preconceived ideas, even of God. You know, sometimes your picture and your view of God can keep you from receiving truly who He is. So just lay everything down that is not of Him. And just say, Father, I just want You, I want all of You, all the truth of who You are, to be real in my life. Yes, Lord, we lay it down.
If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear Your voice, I hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. Stand the storms of life, they come, and the road ahead gets deep. I will lift these hands in faith, I will believe. I remind myself of all that You've done, and the life I have because of Your Son.
Jesus.
Jesus, I am yours. 'Cause love came down, rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, and I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out, remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. I am yours. Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. And all my days, Jesus, I am yours. God, we give you our hearts and minds. We give you our lives, Lord. Every burden, every weight, we lay them down. Every success, everything, we lay them down. They are yours, they are not ours. We hold on to you. 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 We hold on to you, Jesus. We hold on to you as you hold on to us. We hold on to you as you hold us in your arms. As you hold us in your arms. Thank you, Jesus.
So I got this word a while ago, and I felt convicted by it, but I didn't want to think about it, didn't like it, didn't like knowing that, you know, I was wrong. And I was listening to a podcast, and I heard a guy say, the fact is, you will live in darkness until you are so sick of it, you will do absolutely anything to get out of it. And that's when I realized, when we struggle with things, like we're on and off, whatever it is, we're not sick of it yet. We don't like it, but we're not sick of it. We're not desperate to get away. We just don't like it. We know it's wrong. Just like one of the girls at school, she is kind of like one of the stereotypical mean girls in the movie. And I know in my heart she's that way. Because stuff isn't going on, something else isn't going right in her life, and she's taking it on me. And I know that. But it's so easy to hate her. And I don't like how it makes me feel when I get mad at her. I'm not very nice to her. And really, I'm not a good example of Jesus Christ to her. And I struggle with it. When I heard that, I knew at that moment. I wasn't sick of that feeling yet. I wasn't ready to do anything it took to get away from it. But now I am.
Thank you. This song is a very challenging song, and it challenged me in my spirit, because you can look at the song and say, yeah, I need the Lord. I need the Lord. We always need the Lord. Every hour we need the Lord. But it challenged, I know, for me in my spirit, because I'm guilty, and I don't know if any of you can relate, that sometimes I don't give it my all every hour. And sometimes I feel like I don't need the Lord every hour. Sometimes I feel like I can do it on my own. And I brushed up last Sunday or Sunday, a couple Sundays before, about with this Christmas season coming up, how we get so bombarded with the whole dynamics of Christmas, losing the true meaning of what Christmas really represents and what it means, about the Christmas gifts, about the decorating. And we get so stressed out about finances and whether or not we're going to have enough money to cover for Christmas gifts and making sure little Jimmy has a gift under the tree. And we try to do so much to put on this facade of like everything is good, everything's fine, and I'm okay. And yet we need God. We need God every single hour, because if we're not relying upon the Lord and trusting in God every hour, then we're trying to do it on our own. And that is just like Nick was singing about the weight, the burdens. There's just too much weight. There's just too much burdens for us to carry that. We couldn't carry that. We can't do that. And yet Christ came in to this world so humbly as in a stall to carry that burden for us. This season was about Him carrying that burden for us, so we could just trust in Him, rely upon Him, and know, you know what? You know what? You're going to take care of it this season for me. You're going to take care of it this Christmas. And yet we have taken steps back during the seasons and try to rely upon ourselves. So my encouragement as we sing this song is to lay it all out for Him. To lay it all out at His feet. He went to the cross for us. And so we just lay it at the base of the cross. We lay it out at His feet. The shed blood of Jesus Christ covers all of that for us, including this season. We just got to just trust in Him and rely upon Him.
step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. And beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. For the sake became poor. Here I am to
worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether.
To see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it.
Together wonderful.
Says, can you go back one slide? Yeah, one more. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. We will never know truly what it cost the King to go to the cross and die for us. The agony, the pain, the suffering, the embarrassment. All of that bundled up into one. We'll never know how much it truly costs. And all he's asking for is to have a relationship with us. It's not this thing where we get all fixed up and we come to Jesus and we say, okay, God, I'm cool. I'm ready to hang out with you. He just wants to hang out with us. However we're made, with all our junk in the trunk, with everything that we bring to the table. You know, when you get married, you don't fix yourself up to get married to this person. You come as you are, they come as they are, you bring it together, and stuff comes out sometimes, and it's dealt with, and it's hard, and it's not fun. But you don't make this thing up just to meet with this person, just to have a relationship. You come as you are. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Go to the next one, please. And then this is what he sings to us. You are lovely. You are worthy. You are wonderful to me. You are lovely. You are worthy. You are wonderful to me. Doesn't sound very good, but you are lovely and you are wonderful to him with everything you bring to the table. No matter what it is, no matter where you've been, no matter what you're going through, he just wants you.
Check. last night, I was reading before I went to bed. And it's in Psalm 63. And it says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced." And trust me when I say I don't like to come up here, but you know, when the Lord tells me to go up here, I have to be obedient because he's my Lord. And and I just really felt in my heart to say that, just to kind of testify. But what I really want to say is that, you know, Luke 1:37, I believe, says, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." And so in our impossibilities today, I feel that God says, "But I am your possibility today." He is limitless of what he can do. And his ways are not our ways, Pastor Mike. And his thoughts, thank God, are not our thoughts, you know? And I think, like, where would I be without the Lord? And those of you who know me know where God has brought me from. And I don't stand here today to say, "Oh, look at me. I'm saying, look at the Lord and look what the Lord has done. You know, he literally brought me out of the pits of hell. I struggled with depression. I struggled with anxiety. I struggled with rejection and everything. I mean, I felt like I had everything under the sun. But the Son of God set me free. And those who he sets free are free indeed. And I just want to say that I love Jesus. And I don't love him just because of what he does for me. I love him because of who he is. Because, oh my gosh, where would we be without the Lord, Tanya? Where would we be? I don't even want to think where I would be without the Lord, you know? And I just want to say, you know, there's things going on in my life. You know, there's things going on in your life. But let's praise the Lord. Oh my gosh, he's the best present in the whole wide world. You know, he died for us. He said, you know what? God said, you know, man, there's sin. I can't look at that. But he said, you know what? I have a plan. I have a future and a plan for your life. That I'm going to come down and I'm going to send my son to die for your worstest and ugliest and darkest sin. Because I love you. Because I love you. I don't want to be apart from you because I love you so dang much. And man, it's just so awesome to know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords loves us. And there's nothing, Nick, that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And all these things, church, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And I just thank God for Jesus. And I want to praise him. And we should be like shouting in this place. When we sing, "Oh, come, let us adore him," we should be shouting. And, I mean, he gives us so much. If we have a roof over our head this Christmas, if we have a bed to sleep in, if we have lights to turn on, if we have each other, our family that we have, you know, maybe it's a family of two, maybe even one in your dog, I don't know. But if we have that and we have Jesus, we have all we need. And so, praise God. I love you guys.
Thank you.
come together and we come from various backgrounds and experiences, different ways of doing things. Sometimes it's difficult to enter in, and sometimes it's difficult to receive. And sometimes it's not. But I just want to let you know that if you can learn how to be still, how to just wait, slow down, and know that He's God, know that He's Lord, know that He deserves all the blessing and the honor and the glory and the power forever. That's why when the Holy Spirit is giving somebody just a song on the piano or the guitar and there's no words, just know that you just slowing down and being quiet, maybe not saying a word, maybe saying something in your heart, is allowing God to germinate, to, as He did the chaos of the earth when it was first formed, hover over you and prepare for His word to be spoken into your heart. Don't take lightly the silence. Because in the silence, His voice is very loud. And I don't know about you, but I've heard enough of men speaking for years. I'm ready to hear His voice. I'm ready to gaze into His eyes. His eyes of love and His eyes of fire. These are such significant days we live in. And as Tyson was sharing, it's so easy to get caught up in life. And in this Western culture, life catches us. It grabs us by the tail and it swings us around and it drags us from here to there. And it makes us think that we have to do this and say this and act this way and be this way and perform this way. And it sucks the very kingdom of God down to nothing in us. So Lord, we just rest in You. We just let Your blessing, let Your glory, let Your honor and Your power be manifested in our lives. Yeah, You deserve all that, but let it be manifested. Let it be real, tangible in these vessels, Lord. As You sung over us, Lord, today, that we're worthy. Some of us here don't feel worthy, but that does not change the fact that You have made us worthy. You have made us a treasure to You that You will hold on to and not let go. We have such value to You. Help us to see that, Lord. Even when we don't have the power to love You, You love us with a love that just draws us in. And we just receive into our hearts, we receive into our lives today, God, that truth. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Worthy is
Praise the Lord. What do you think? Are we done? Who knows? Who knows what done means anymore, right? It's not like we're in an oven and the timer's going off saying, you're fully baked. This is our One Life Family Worship Church cleaning sign-up sheet. You guys are on the team. But we are needing a few more teams for cleaning the church. And that happens on usually Saturdays. And if you sign up for this, we will train you how to clean the church. How many know that it's nice to have a clean church? It really is, right? It's nice to not have dirt on the floor and everything. So, and it's an opportunity for you to serve and for you to say, you know what? I'm putting my treasure in this house and by putting my time in. And you know what? It's going to help your heart to be connected. Because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. That's another concept of tithing. As we give into the kingdom of God, we give God our 10%. And here we don't take an offering. We don't pass a plate. We used to pass a bag. But now all we have here is the treasure box up here. You bring your offering. You bring your tithe. You can put it up here during worship anytime, before service, after service. And even if you don't feel like coming up front, there's one in the back there that you can put it in. But where your treasure is, your heart connects. So I encourage you to help us clean the church and to be a giver. Tithing is a principle that's been around since God established covenant with man. And as we enter into God's financial economy, he blesses us. It just is that way. Well, praise the Lord. I want to start with prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just come before you right now, Lord, and we thank you, God, that you are at work in our day, Lord, so much more than we can even begin to even see with our natural eyes. But Lord, we believe that through our eyes of faith, God, through our supernatural eyes that you've given us as people of the kingdom, God, that we can see you. We can interact, God, with what you're doing. We can see your hand in our lives. And Lord, we can become what you have called us to be for this day. Lord, I thank you that you are doing above and beyond all we've asked or thought. You're doing so much more than what we've expected. And I just thank you, God, that you're giving us the grace to be able to handle what we're getting. Because otherwise, I know myself, I would be blown out of the water. So thank you, Lord, for that grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to remind us, I'm going to do this for a while now because I really believe that this principle of realizing that we are involved in something much more than we think or see with our natural eyes. Today, actually, the message is going to like really substantiate that. But listen to this verse. We've read it before. These are just precursor verses to help us to get into the mindset to be able to receive what we're going to read. Because frankly, our Western culture, we're really good at reading something and explaining it. Aren't we? Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons people go to college, is to learn things so that they can explain it to someone else and teach it to someone else. We're very slow, though, at just learning something and receiving it, even if we can't understand it. Does anybody else agree? Usually, if we can't understand it, what do? Put it aside. We've been told that. You don't understand it, just set it on the shelf. Well, I'm here to tell you, let's not do that anymore. If we don't understand it, if it's from God, let's receive it and let him work out the details. This is very important because when Jesus was here on the earth, they couldn't understand him because they couldn't explain him. I'm talking about the religious group at that time. Now listen, they could not explain what he was doing. They couldn't figure out what he was doing because it was not according to the pattern of God that they had experienced previous. But was Jesus God? He was all God. Yet they couldn't explain him. Because they couldn't explain him, they couldn't receive him. So keep that in mind. You guys have to be ready to receive what's from the Lord, even if you can't understand it. Now, get understanding if you can, but still don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Does that make sense? Good. I'm glad. I said I'm glad. Is this making sense? So listen to this. Isaiah 26:3. I've read it before. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That word mind for staying, keeping in perfect peace, that word mind is imagination. That word mind is thoughts. If we keep our thoughts on him, we keep our imagination set on him. How many know that your imagination can run wild if you let it? I'm in prayer and my imagination runs wild. I'm like, what am I thinking this for? It's like, you know, all of a sudden this picture comes to mind. It's like, yuck, get out of here. I don't want you there. And the peace of God, you know, just kind of flies away when that happens. So I've got to go back and focus again on the Lord. And folks, we have to train ourselves to do this. Now, some of you have great imaginations and you can just start praying and immediately you're connecting with the Lord. You're thinking of heavenly things. But we have got to train ourselves in this. Otherwise, guess what? We're not going to stay in perfect peace, perfect shalom, a completeness, a wholeness that I believe. This is Old Testament that I believe the Lord wants us to walk in and live in. All right, let's get a New Testament scripture then for those of you who are skeptical. Colossians 3:1. Listen to this. If then you were raised with Christ, which we were, when Jesus was resurrected on the third day, you might as well have said you were raised. Because in Christ, we were raised with him. Now see right there, you're just going, I don't understand that. So you're going to set it off this? No, don't set it off to the side just because you don't understand it. Receive it. When Jesus died on the cross, somehow we died with him. When we receive Christ, we then connect in his death. We connect in his burial, and we connect in his resurrection. We do. So it's as if we go through the same thing. So we were raised in Christ. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek, hunt continuously for them. Look for them where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now get this, set your mind, your thoughts, imagination, focus on things above, not on things of this earth. Man, can it be any more clear? But what do we end up doing? Myself included, mostly focusing our mind on things of this earth. Even, folks, even during most of our prayer times, what are we focusing on? Let's think about this for a moment. We start going through a list, a prayer list. And what is the prayer list for? Now, sometimes it is for someone to have received salvation, that. But a lot of times it's other things. And guess what we're focusing on? The earth. I just have to laugh because I'm laughing at myself. Not laughing at you. Laughing at myself thinking of how foolish we become. That we think that even during our prayer time, how could it be that we spend an hour? Most people don't spend an hour. You spend an hour focusing on the earth. Whoa, guys, come on. This is big. This is our cages being rattled right now. This is our paradigms being shaken. Because if we don't get this, we can't receive what the Lord wants to do. Nicodemus goes to Jesus at night. He says, teacher, I know you're a great teacher, rabbi. You know, what must you do really to be saved? And Jesus goes and he explains to him, you know, Nicodemus, what you have to do is you have to be born again to see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus immediately, a Hebrew does this. He thinks, well, that means I got to go back in my mother's womb. Now, a Hebrew's true Hebrew thinking would not go that way. They would think, what does that mean, born again? They would start asking questions. No, he immediately went into a Greek mindset. Well, what does that mean? I got to go back into my mother's womb? Folks, we do this with the word all the time. We start trying to bring the word down to here, don't we? God's promises, you know, they're yes and amen, but we take his promises that are meant to be something bigger than what they really seem, and we bring them and we box them here, and we constrain them to only being able to do so much. Right? Not getting many amens. I'm getting a lot of stares, but listen, if Nicodemus, who was a teacher, he said, you're a master teacher, Jesus then says to him. And he goes, you know, and you're not understanding this born again stuff. If you're not getting that, how are you going to receive heavenly teaching? This is basic earthly kingdom teaching. This is not even heavenly things. You're not going to be able to receive them. So we have to realize that there is more to what's going on in this word than what we've been taught. And hopefully today your eyes will be open. I've been praying my eyes would be open, praying everyone's eyes would be open here. Folks, because what makes us free? Can anybody tell me? What's the Bible say? Truth. And the knowledge of truth makes us free. You will know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you free. But folks, if we don't receive the truth, we can't know it. Or if we box the truth into what is acceptable and makes sense to us, we won't fully know it. And guess what? We'll continue to be enslaved. We'll continue to be trapped. We'll continue to be put in a place that we don't like anyway. Kind of like what Melissa was sharing, you know? Totally giving it all. And that meant that she had to do something. And we say, oh, I want to give it all. But then when it comes that we know what we need to do, we stop and we sell the truth short. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay. I'll give one more today, and then we'll move to the... This is not even the sermon, so this is just... So get used to this part. You're going to be hearing this quite a bit because I really believe that God is trying to cement in us that we are to not be people who look at the things that are seen. Now, that's radical thinking. That's thinking that if you go and you talk to the wrong person, they're going to call the funny farm. The funny farm will come and get you. Oh, been there, done that? So don't talk to the wrong person. Talk to Jesse. He'll listen. Say, I don't understand, but I receive it. Listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look, what's he saying? This is Paul. While we do, let me read it slow so it'll hit you. While we do not look at the things which are seen. Did you guys just hear that? While we do not look at the things which are seen. So what do we look at? What do we don't look at? We don't look at the things which are seen. Now, what are the things which are seen? Somebody tell me. Everything we see with our eye. But we don't look at them. This is Bible. I'm just reading Bible. I could bring out any translation. It's going to say the same thing. And guess what? You're being very Western thinking right now when you're going, like, this does not make sense. Who cares if it doesn't make sense? Believe it and receive it. Okay? Let's stop making it something we have to understand before we start truly walking in. So while we do not look at the things which are seen, but that means on the contrary, but at the things which are not seen. Or you could say it this way, while we do look at the things which are seen, which are not seen. I can't even get it right. While we do look at the things which are not seen. See, my brain goes tilt. We do look at the things which are not seen. I can see that look right there, Ken. What are you looking at, Pastor? The point is this is talking about faith, folks. This is talking about a supernatural life. This is not talking about natural living. What we have to start doing, there's a show out there called, I think it's Supernatural. And a lot of times he'll quote, I'm living naturally supernatural. It's a great way of explaining it. That we have to learn how to naturally live supernatural. Now that goes, that's like, wait a minute, that's like an irony out there. Naturally supernatural. In other words, we have to make it so that living a supernatural life is second nature. Second nature. That means we don't think about it, we just do it. Somebody was describing something to me the other day and went, oh, I like that illustration. I'm going to use it. Listen to me. If you were to go out and get in your car, if you're not driving today, then you really maybe can't relate. But let's say all of us here who drive, we go and we get in the car, we jump in. How many of us think, okay, right now I have to turn on the ignition? I did that when I first started driving. Let me check. Is it in park? Is it all these things? I had to look at the mirror, you know, in driving school, you know, I had to worry about, okay, when I'm parked. And all these things about what we're going to do when we do these things. Now, folks, I parallel park. I don't even think about it. I just do it. That's how we have to get with walking in the Spirit, where it just is second nature. But guess what? I didn't jump in a car the first day and it was second nature. Oh, maybe there's a little key here. Yes, I had to practice driving. I had to practice hitting things. We had a famous saying when we were kids, because I backed into a rock. And of course, you know, the rock, you know, was just a rock. And it just didn't say anything. It didn't get out of its car and want to beat me up or anything, you know. So I was able to drive off. Well, after that, several of my friends got in accidents. And it used to be the saying, we should have hit a rock. They don't sue. Anyway. So we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. See, that's the key right there. Everything that we see with our natural eye is temporary. Even each other in the state that we're in right now. If we could get that, man, we could start getting along. That state that they're in right now is temporary. In Christ, they're being changed from glory to glory. See who they're becoming. Better yet, see who they are in God. And then rejoice in their transformation that's going to take place. Instead of seeing them where they're at right now and going, what a pitiful sight. Yeah, I know. I'm human. I'm human. I do the same thing. But if we would not look at them as we see them, but we look as we don't see them, oh, come on, we're then going to treat them as they are and not who they appear to be. Yeah. If we can get to the place where we do not see each other based on our natural appearance, but our supernatural state, holy cow. Honor will be prevalent in our midst because we will see somebody fully finished in Christ. And guess what? We will start receiving them that way. And guess what they'll start doing? They'll start being that way. Because they've been received as they are, and they will be who we see them as. Okay. Let's get to the sermon. I know, this is not the sermon. We're in Hebrews 12, remember? Now keep in mind, we don't look at the things which are what? Seen. We look at the things which are not seen. Okay, so listen to this. We're going to now be in verse 18. Remember that, because if you do not remember that, you're going to let this stuff fly right over your head, and you're going to walk out of here saying, what was that? You're going to have to get the audio and re-listen to it and figure out what I was trying to say. I will be doing that as well, but because I don't really remember a lot of times what I'm saying. For you have not come. Now listen, you have not come. Who's you? You. Me. This is everyone. This is not the Hebraic culture that this Hebrews was being written to. You'll hear some people try to say that. No, this is a letter written to the people of God. You have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words that those who heard it begged that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. This is speaking of Mount Sinai, folks. And I don't have time to get into all of it, but basically, God appeared in a massive amount of display of glory that petrified the people. And they were given certain restrictions. When certain things are happening on this mountain, don't even let a beast touch this mountain or they're dead, you know. So the people are saying, stop speaking to us. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. Now get this. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. So Mount Sinai was an awesome display that they saw with their natural eye. They saw the thunder, they saw the lightning, they saw the shaking, the quaking. It was very naturally experienced. Now that's what the author is saying here. You have not come to that mountain. You have not come to what you see. Listen to me. You have not come to what you see. But you have come to Mount Zion. Folks, that's in the active present voice. That's not saying when you die, you will go to Mount Zion. That's not saying that. That is saying you have come now. Now, this is the present tense. You have come to Mount Zion. Listen to what we've come to. Actually, I'm going to go to the New Living Translation because I love the way it enhances every single time what we have come to. No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Folks, we've come to Mount Zion. We've come to the city of the living God. Where? When? Now? Whoa. I didn't write this. Don't look at me that way. I can see in your eyes, your face, I can hear it bombarding like, where'd he get that? No, it's the Bible. It's funny because Gay was reading something to me yesterday. She goes, is that what that says? I said, that's what that says. But most of the time, because we don't understand it, we don't receive it. Because she goes, wait a minute, listen to this. I said, yep, Jesus said that. What? The thing is that for so long, we've had this training that when we hear something we don't understand, we move it aside. Well, the problem is we're moving truth aside. And unfortunately, a lot of colleges, most of the truth is on a shelf. We've got what we understand. And guess what? We've now limited God to our own understanding. You're in a mess right now because it says, do not lean on your own understanding. Oh my goodness, his thoughts are what? Not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And when we make his thoughts confined to our thoughts, we've limited God. When we make his ways limited to our ways, we hold his hands tied. And in the United States, mostly, his hands are tied.
And Holy Spirit's wrecking his church right now. I don't know what other preachers are preaching, but I know I have no other mandate than to unloose you and to make you understand there's more going on in your life right now than you even realize, than I even realize. You have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire. That's what we've not come to, but we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of a living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And you guys think you have to die to receive this. We're there. So why don't we live in it? Because we're not looking at the things that are not seen. We're looking at the things that are seen. Because we're looking for the mountain that quakes. How many of you are just begging for a sign from God? Oh, I want to see people raised from the... We have all these things that we want to see with our natural eye. But we're not going to see those until we see where we're already at. See, Jesus, when he walked here on the earth, there was an expression in John. You can check this out. It's chapter 1, and it says that Jesus was then at that time in the bosom of the Father when he was here on earth. You go look at the same kind of language that's being used. At that time, Jesus many times says, I'm in the Father right now. And we always thought, well, they're separated. No, he was never separated. That's why he did what he did. He did not do what he did because he was just God here on earth. He did what he did because he was in the place where he was supposed to be. And so when he walked and he interacted with people, he didn't interact in this level. Even though he was touching them and holding them, he let heaven move through him because he didn't see the natural realm. Folks, if we don't get this, we will miss what God wants to do. This is so imperative. Because if we continue to look at what's seen and judge and move and live and have our being in that, we will be limited to our finite experience. And our finite experience is what's got us here. We are in an infinite place right now. Did it not say that? Next time I say, folks, we just gathered together a bunch of folks around Mount Zion, you guys better start cheering because that's what we're doing. And if you don't understand this, at least receive it because it's the Word of God. I'm not making this up. This is verse by verse. All I'm doing is expounding on it just a little bit. Now listen to this. And to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come, folks, to a countless, you can't count them, number of angels in a joyful gathering. Somehow right now, there are, another translation used says, myriads of angels all around us. Now, are they here? Well, in a way, yes, they're here because we're there. Come on. That's the truth. Is it not the truth? They're here because we're there. It says we're seated in heavenly places, exactly, in Ephesians. But even that's somewhat subjective because you say, well, you know, it's we're seated there. This is clear. This is crystal clear. This is saying we have come. We are there. There are thousands and thousands and thousands, myriads, numbers upon numbers of joyful angels all around us. Why are they joyful? Because they know God. And that makes them happy, I guess. Doesn't say miserable angels, okay? I'm just saying. If it would have said that, that'd be a different twist. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children. I don't want to try to expound on that, but we have come to that. Let's think about this. Earlier in 12, what did it say? Since we are surrounded, and we thought that meant, well, they're up there and they're just kind of going, ooh, come on, guys, you can do it. No, we're surrounded by them. Why? Because we're there with them. Oh, I know. You know, Jesse, I have a title that would work for some for this. Fruitcake at large next week on the title for the sermon, because it sounds that way. As I'm saying it, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm keep digging deeper and deeper. But it's the word. Now, can you imagine, guys, if I wouldn't have opened my Bible and I just started saying this, you guys would have went and said, Pastor Mike is whack. He's going crazy. Thank the Lord I didn't do that. How many have read this before? And how many have put it on the shelf? Come on now. Yeah, because we couldn't understand it. It made no sense. Well, it just must mean symbolically. It's not saying anything symbolically here. Do you guys pick up anything symbolically? No, but we, in our Western culture, symbolize it. Well, we've symbolically come to those places. That's not what it's saying. And just because we can't understand what it's saying doesn't mean it's not true. Can you guys see gravity? Can you really understand it? We've got an idea of the earth spinning and all that stuff, weight and that kind of stuff. But you truly, someone totally understands it? But it exists, doesn't it? You know, go up to a tall building. Gravity will prove itself. Right? Can you see air? For the most part, not, unless you see dust. You know, Jesus said this way, the Spirit's like the wind. It blows here, it blows there. You can't see it, though. We have to realize that it's what we don't see that's the reality. Because see, Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem, myriads of angels, those are all eternal things. Mount Sinai, temporary. Only a shadow of what God wanted to do. And yet, it looked to them like it was so amazing and powerful. And God's going, this is just the precursor. It's like, this is the, you know, this is the trailer of what I'm going to do. My son's going to come and then you're going to see the full show. And they couldn't handle that. Okay. Back to, you've come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, those whose names are written in heaven. We know that it talks about our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so I would say that this is most likely talking about all previous saints. So in a way, you're going to see someone when you die, and you're going to be there with them. Folks, you're there with them right now. If we could just get that. Our loved ones are only a spirit away. Somehow right now, Gabe, we're with Aaron. We're right there with him right now. I don't understand it, but I'm going to start believing it. Because it says I am. You've come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. Now listen to this. This is what I'll finish with. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people. Folks, we're there with him right now. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. It makes a little more sense, doesn't it? We're there with him. So he can't leave us because we're there. So many times I hear people say, oh, we want heaven to come down. Maybe we just need to say, God, open our eyes. Let's just believe by faith we're there right now. And to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. We've come to a place where Jesus Christ's blood literally is speaking on our behalf
at all times. I don't know how that works, but I do know in the Old Testament, when Abel was slain by Cain, that God said, I hear your brother's blood crying. And what was his blood crying for? Vengeance, justice. I was unjustly killed. And Jesus' blood is crying, no, Father, forgive them, because I took all of it on myself. Wow, we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm going to ask you to do something. That is 2 Corinthians 4:18. Would you get that verse and post it on your mirror at home? I think for the day that we live in, the hour that we live in, the time that we live in, it is critical for us to be able to quote that verse. Yes, John 3:16 is very important. But right now, because we have become such a sight-oriented people, we've got to get to the place where we train ourselves not to look that way. See, that's why, even though we're full of messes and not fixed in our own eyes, if we see in the Spirit, we're spotless brides. Because we're not looking at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. And in Christ, which we can't see with our natural eyes, we're complete. We are literally all the finished work in Christ. Wow, if we could start getting that and receive what we already are, instead of constantly focusing, like Romans 8 says, on our flesh, focusing on our failures, focusing on our inadequacies, focusing on our shortcomings, and then guess what? Living up to those standards that we focus on, instead of focusing on who God already has made us. And you can fill in the blanks, because I bet Holy Spirit's gracious enough to speak to your heart and let you know even how he views you. He was through Stephen singing today. Bless his heart. Thank you for just being bold enough to sing what the Lord put on your heart. Because it has power to hear that we're worthy. Because all our lives we're taught we're unworthy. But that's if we're looking with our natural eyes. We're looking at what we see. Because I'm sure if I followed all of you around, I could find some bad things that go on that declare different than what God says about you. Folks, family, this is so important. Listen, what we received last year about being sons and daughters was so necessary for us to walk in this. Because you can't walk in Mount Zion as somebody who don't know who they are. You have to realize that you are an offspring of heaven. And you have a right, a privilege to eat of the tree of life. Right, Moses? You're no longer banished from the tree of life. You're no longer banished from God's presence. But we have to start believing it. Or we're going to let life trip us, chain us. We'll let it just continue to do whatever it wants to do with us, because we're looking at the things which are seen. Second Corinthians 4:18. So, let's see if in the next few weeks I see 2 Corinthians 4:18, a few of you start quoting it. Now, there's other verses. I could have read 5 or 6 today, but that's kind of the ones the Lord laid on my heart. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else is added to you. In other words, he's saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. He was saying the same thing. Again, we were just like putting it where I can understand it. But he's saying, seek heaven.
Can you see the kingdom of God? Can you guys see the kingdom of God? Tell me, has anybody seen the kingdom of God? I've seen it in a manifested form working through someone's life, but how many can say, I see the kingdom of God? Anybody? Okay, we're to seek it. We're to seek something we can't see, folks. Yet we've made the kingdom of God something we can see. Ooh, yeah, this hurts. Because what we're literally doing is making it then so that we can't not worry about our stuff. Because we've made the kingdom of God about our stuff. God, can you do this? Can you do that? He says, I can, but why did you not even worry about it and focus on me? Listen what the Spirit is saying, guys. Not Pastor Mike. I don't have this kind of stuff in my arsenal. I haven't been to seminary. I'm thankful that I can't say I've been to this Bible school. Nobody can take credit for my craziness. Or nobody has to deny my craziness. Maybe Grace International one of these days will give me a phone call. I don't know. But I'm telling you, this is Bible. This is the Spirit of God speaking. And this is a critical hour, a critical day we live in. And if we don't get this basic principle, we won't get nothing. We will be like the Pharisees and Sadducees who will start to see the work of God and we will judge it based on what we know. And we'll literally be resisting God. Come on, family. But oh, what an amazing thing. We're in Mount Zion right now. Father, open our eyes. We're in heavenly Jerusalem. And we thought we had to die to get there, Jesse. We're there right now. The Bible says it. I believe it. I don't see it with my spirit yet, but I will. Because my Father has opened my eyes. Says that those pure in heart will see God. I'm asking for him to purify my heart, cleanse me from every wicked way. I'm asking him to search me, and I know he'll be faithful and just to do it. He's purifying me. I will see him. Okay. Wow. Praise the Lord. Stand with me. What I want you to do is put your hand on your heart, since you don't know 2 Corinthians 4:18 yet. And just as I say a few words, you're not pledging allegiance, okay? So don't think that that's what I'm having you do. Your heart is a gateway to the life flow of who you are. It says to guard your heart with all diligence. Now, is your heart your blood pump? Well, that's debatable, but it sure shows scientifically that there's a lot more going on with the human heart than we even give it credit for. Like where they take a heart and they put it in someone else, and that person who gets that heart starts becoming like the heart, the person the heart was in. So put your hand in your heart, and when I say a few words, repeat after me, say it loud, and ask the Lord to bring revelation to you as you say it. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, we ask right now in Jesus' name that that scripture would come alive in us. Lord, that we would be ones, God, that would not look at the things that we see with our natural eyes and let them move us, let them shake us, let them create a false impression of who we truly are. Lord, we choose to look at the things which are not seen. Even though we don't understand it, even though it doesn't make sense to this natural mind, by faith, just as Enoch did, we believe you, God, and we diligently seek you in this now. We take our life and we lay it in your hands, and we know the one that's leading us. We know the one that's guiding us. We know the one that's giving us this mandate today, and we agree with your work in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
So I just want to say something that may make it easier for those of us that aren't there yet. When we came to God and asked him to be our, asked Jesus to be our Savior, it made no sense. But by faith, we trusted him. It's this same kind of trust that it's going to take for us to receive those things that we've read and put aside because we didn't understand it. Does that make sense? So if we're at a part where we say, "Ooh, I can't receive that. That's just weird." Ask God just one thing. Help me to trust you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You guys have a wonderful day.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.